music, our worship team, our music force, amen. Is that it? Just a few of you? Man, they take us in, don't they? I want you to take your Bible and open to the book of Luke. The book of Luke and the fourth chapter. Luke 4 and 14. We're going to start reading from there. And just before I read it, let me set it up and where it picks up from there. See, Jesus, when he came onto his public ministry, when he stands up and says, okay, it's time for me to come on the scene now. We see that he gets water baptized by John the Baptist. You know that. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him like a dove. And he went out into the wilderness, was led out into the wilderness and was tempted, but never fell to temptation. Come on, somebody. But he was filled with the power of God in such a way that when temptation came his way, he had the power to overcome. Somebody shout out, I need the power to overcome temptation. You see, the devil will always try to tempt you. God never tempts you. He may test you, but he never tempts you. But the devil will always try to tempt you. And he'll use all kinds of things. Amen? And so... Jesus comes on the scene, and here in Luke chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 14, it says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And then, so he came to Nazareth, the Bible says in verse 16, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So obviously, it's not the first time. It's his custom. It's something that was always done. But this time, listen, the Bible says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened up the book, he found the place where it was written. And verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then, boom, he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Lord, we know your word is anointed. Anoint your servant. Remove any distractions from our mind or our midst or our phones, Lord. I pray, God, that you just let us pay close attention to what we're going to be saying in these next moments, because I know there's life and death. I believe, my God, that decisions are in the balance here in this room today. I believe that you want to give deliverance and set free people free. I believe there's liberty that is available to those that want it. Lord, we pray that you move by your Spirit and use me, I pray, in Jesus' name, and everyone say. Now, here in our text, we see that the Spirit of the Lord has fallen upon him. Now it's kind of weird when you see the Spirit of God was with him, because he is the Spirit. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you have to understand that up to the point where before he was 30 years old, that he hadn't done any public ministry. He had done some reading. He had been in the synagogue. He had done what every Jewish boy would do, but he hadn't come on the scene with power like he had now. And so we see that he declares the prophet Isaiah's prophecy that the Messiah would have the anointing, would have a specific anointing to set the captives free. And we see that when Jesus opened the scrolls in the temple, a few things were happening. One of them is he was defining who he was. He reads it, he closes it, and he sits down. And he looks at them, and everybody began to look at him. Why? Because he knew that those that walked in the Spirit would see that the Messiah had finally arrived. And they also knew there would be many who would reject him. Because even later we see that he says a prophet is not even welcome in his own. And so he defines who he is. But he doesn't just define who he is. He defines his vision. He defines what he's called to do. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim the good news. To who? To the brokenhearted, to the poor, to the lost. And it defines what the church, what the people in the church, because the church is not a building or an organization. The church is you, my friend. It is you and I together. We are the church. We're the bride of Christ. We belong to God, and He gives us His Spirit. So He defines who He is. He defines His mission. He defines the vision that God, that He has to reach the lost. Then He begins to define His ministry, because a mission without a ministry is not going to work. You need a vision, a mission, but then you need a ministry. And the ministry is to do the mission. And the mission was what? To heal the brokenhearted. To deliver those that are captive. And to set them free by the power of Almighty God. He was also defining how He was going to do this. He was defining, He was saying, I can't do this without the anointing. He said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. That word anointing isn't bigger than just some kind of, you know, goosebumps. The anointing is where power's at. That's the power of Almighty God. It's the dynamite. It's the power, man, that God gives us to be able to overcome sin. The power that gives us the power to be able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. See, he defines His source of power. And it's real important for us to understand that Jesus also had passion for the cause or the mission that He had. Jesus had passion. There was a burning passion in His heart. He was willing to sacrifice His very own life for you and I. He was willing to take His body and let it be crucified on Calvary at Golgotha, the place they call the skull, so that we could be redeemed from our sin. You see? And so He had compassion and a sense of mission every moment that He was alive. Then they killed Him. But guess what? Burned. He rose 3 days later. Huh? Sometimes the devil tries to kill you, man. Tries to kill your dream. But burn. The price has been paid at Calvary. And when He lives, we live. You see, I want to entitle this message this morning, The Spirit of the Breaker. Because Jesus came to break yokes. Jesus came to break strongholds. There are some of you in this room here this morning that can't seem to just get it. You do good for a while. Pray, you read your Bible, you come to church, and then one day, just from one day to the next, something happens that pulls you out. And then you get guilty, because that's the devil. It ain't God's people or God that tries to put guilt and shame on us. It's the devil will try to put shame on you, see? And so because of that, then makes it harder to come back. And so you have to understand something here, that God wants to break some things. And so it requires the spirit of a breaker. And when God sets us free, then guess what? He also anoints us. It wasn't just for Jesus. Jesus said, you know what, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to fill you with the power of Almighty God. He says, you're going to be able to tread over anywhere you want, and the enemy's going to be under your feet. So He says, I want to endue you with power. He tells the disciples after He rose from the dead, before he ascended to heaven, what does He tell them? You wait right here. Because power is going to fill you. And there they were in the upper room worshiping God, just praying, just doing what they normally knew what to do. And then the Bible says that it was like the sound of a mighty rushing wind that boom and exploded in that upper room. And in that upper room, oh my God, the Bible says that they all began to speak in other tongues, that the Spirit of God began to prophesy. Oh man, the Spirit of God fell on the church. And there it was. And so if that's the way it started, that's the way it should end. We should not be in the middle someplace or conservative. We should know that the power of Almighty God should be in us, so that when your uncle or your cousin or a friend at work or your neighbor says, listen, I know you're a Christian and you're radical, you're always at church, you go to that Victory Outreach place over there, and I want you to know that my son is hooked on heroin and I don't know what to do. Listen, your first answer is, not let me go take him to the home. Your first answer, because we got homes that can break that spirit, but your first response ought to be able to say, where is he at? Take off that jacket, get a little oil or something, and walk up to that young 17-year-old and lay hands on him and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the spirit of addiction off of this boy in the name of Jesus. But instead, you want to take him to the home. Because God wants to give you the spirit of a breaker. Yeah, there's some times where you're going to have to bring them to the pastor. Sometimes you got to bring them to the directors of the home. Sometimes you got to bring them to church and say, please pray for them. I've been praying, but nothing's happened. There's some times, but there's a lot of times that if you're walking in the anointing, then you can literally walk up to somebody that says, you know what, my niece needs a miracle. Listen, you don't got to bring them to church. You can bring them to church to testify, or maybe for reinforcement prayer. But oh, if you got the spirit of a breaker on you, you can break that yoke, that sickness, that disease. See, our vision is to reach hurting people, treasures out of darkness. And it's the anointing that sets the captive free, not us. Not because we have experience of being drug addicts, or those of you that have been alcoholics, or those of you that turned your marriage around and now you have a lot of marriage wisdom. That's not what changes people. That's good stuff. They should heed your advice. You should heed all that stuff. But it is the anointing of God that when you look into a marriage couple's eyes and say, we were just like you two. And I want you to know, when the Spirit of God got a hold of us and God can do the same for you, and you pray for them, boom, something breaks off of them. That's the spirit of a breaker. That's the spirit of the Lord. That is God's anointing that has the ability, he can break anything. It don't matter what it is. We've seen all kinds of diseases be healed in this church. We've seen the blind walk. We've seen men and women with cancer literally be healed. We've seen people with hepatitis C, the doctor said there's no healing for that, be saved without no medicine. Come on, somebody. See, we have a specific anointing for the streets. Last night, we all gathered, a big old group of us gathered at the park there in Westgate, and the winds were like 40 miles an hour. Everybody's mouth was full of dirt. Or how are you going to test it? How are dirt in their mouth? But we were still out there. And so plan B was, listen, nobody's going to come out to the park. Everybody's hiding inside. So we just unleashed the soldiers in the street door to door. And we didn't stay out long, but we still did what we said we were going to do. We still got out there. Why? Because we believe that we carry a message of the breaker. See, you can never forget your source of your power. The source of your power does not lie in how many scriptures that you have memorized, although it's a very powerful thing. The source of your anointing does not lie in how many times you come to church. The source of your power doesn't know how long you've been serving the Lord. The source of your power is the anointing. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And the closer you get to God, and the closer you get to Him through prayer and His Word and in church and with each other, the stronger your anointing gets. Listen, God wants to anoint you with the Spirit of the breaker. breaker. Why? Because there are a lot of people that will never come through the doors of this church. They may be your neighbor, your relative. They may be at your job. And I guarantee you right now, it may just take one moment, just one moment of your time to be able to look them in the eyes and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And today I'm going to lay hands on you. And you're going to get your wife back, brother. You're going to get your husband back, sister. You're going to get your kid back. Listen, you're going to have a miracle in that courtroom. You're going to see what God does. We can't go in our own strength. We need God's power. We need his anointing. So many people think because, well, I've been around a long time. So what? I don't care how long you've been around. You need the anointing, the fresh anointing. You need fresh oil. Fresh oil every day. God raised up this ministry to preach a strong message of good news to the broken and to the lost. In 1967, 51 years ago, God saw the heartbeat of America. He saw that this our United States and the world was being plagued with addiction and gang violence and all the craziness of the inner city. So he raised up a man by the name of Sonny Argonzoni, our pastor, our founder, and Sister Julie Argonzoni. At that time, she was Julie Rivera, and they raised him up. They got to Bible school together, and there was an explosion of power between those two, and they embarked on a ministry that would soon see the hand of God move across the globe. And we have now seen it in over 30 countries where we see drug addicts and gang members and prostitutes being raised up to be leaders and be speakers and be and anointed men and women all over the world. That nobody could have done that. We couldn't have fabricated that. That had to be God's anointing because the Bible says, I will choose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. There is no way, no way that we could have built this ministry in 51 years and be where we're at if it wasn't for God's anointing. We need to know where the source of our anointing. We were raised up to take cities back from the enemy. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of my city. This is my city. This is your city. I'm sick and tired of our city being plagued with the violence that it has. Listen, many of us were the violent. There are men in this room and women in this room. Yeah, even some of the women. There were some of the most violent offenders and violent people in this city. And then God saved them. God took them off the pipe. God took that Jack Dan out of their mouth. He did something. He did a miracle. Your mom and dad know it's a miracle. A lot of people at your job don't understand where you were. They see you now. They see the way, they see your glory, but they don't know your story. They don't know where you've been at. They don't know what you've done. And you don't tell them everything, but you got to tell them a little something and say, I used to be, once I was a, but Jesus set me free. See, I don't know about you, but enough is enough. Listen, who's going to rise up in Albuquerque? Who is going to rise up and go to the streets and look at people in the eyes and say, listen, God loves you. I love you. Victory Outreach loves you. Come, let me help you. You see, every night there's a shooting. Somebody's killed. One of the girls at Twilight Treasures Ministry was shot. I don't know who she was. Maybe some of the team knows who it was. But she was shot just a couple of nights ago right there at the same hotel where they go minister and give them food and minister. I noticed it right away when I saw the paper. Every day. And what is the church doing about it? We're all gathered in the church on Sunday getting all nice and spiritually fat. Feed me, Pastor. And all these great pastors. We have some great pastors in Albuquerque, man. I know a lot of them. They're good friends of mine. They're dynamic conveyors of the Word of God. They articulate well. And man, they got everything ready. We're doing that. And we're all in the church. All of us sitting in church, man, getting the Word on Sunday. And come back next Sunday and get another Word. And we're just growing in the Word. But what are we doing with it? What are you doing with the Word? What are you doing with everything God says to do? See, Our city is plagued. And not just with violence like guns and all. I'm talking about plague. There's children that are being abused. There are families that are torn apart by alcoholism and all kinds of crazy. And what are we doing? What are we doing? Listen, God has anointed us with the spirit of a breaker to break the yoke of bondage. And until we use what God gave us, we're not going to see the breakthrough that God wants to give our city. We can have all the events we want to have. We can have all the great big citywide events with all the churches. And we can have unity, and that's going to be a good thing. And I'm excited about being part of it. In fact, I'm one of the top people that are part of the executive board of putting these events on with a few other pastors and joining with two or three under other pastors. But what good is that going to do if all we do is gather together and sing kumbaya together and that people are dying out there? People are lost. Listen, God wants to raise you up. God wants to anoint you and get you out there and do what you're called to do. Listen, you need a sense of mission. You need a passion for Christ, a passion for God and His vision, not your own. Last night we started the Stop the Violence campaign. Might say, well, we didn't get too radical, but it doesn't matter. Even if one person at one door got one flyer and they said, you know what are you here for? I'm here to let you know Jesus loves you. It could have been that person right now that was going to beat his wife. It could be that one person that was going to go out that night and get in a gang shooting guy. It could, or shoot somebody and ruin their life. Listen, I want you to know something. I'm sick and tired of seeing my city as the fifth most violent city and out in the United States. I don't know about you, but we got to get up and do something about it. Listen, the government's not going to do something about it. Last president didn't do it. This president didn't do it. And the next president ain't going to do it. It is the women and men of God and the churches that are going to make a difference. Listen, the church is supposed to be the one that leads the way, not the government. It is the church, the pastors, the leaders, the people of the church that are supposed to be out there meeting the needs of the people. But oh, how we've switched everything. Everybody's all focused on politics and everybody's all focused on government. Man, they ain't got no, they can't bust a grape. They can't bust a grape. They ain't got no power. The only power they got is to be able to like sign laws into, but they ain't got no power. There's no anointing. We got the anointing. God wants to use your life. God wants to use this church. Huh? We have strongholds in our city. Do you know what strongholds are over your city? Huh? Anybody? What strongholds do we have in our city? Let me hear you. Huh? Rebellion. What else? Addiction. Depression and violence. It's wicked, man. Come on. Look where we live at. It's a beautiful city until it's windy. Hello, somebody. But it's a beautiful city, but we're plagued. There's prostitution everywhere. You guys only see what you see on Central. It goes way beyond that. There's human trafficking. I think we had a big bust here, like a nationwide. That we're here, set up shop here. The addiction. Man, it's crazy. Everybody's hooked. Everybody's all messed up, man. Everybody's sprung. Everybody's prendido. And we're sitting around saying, we're Victory Outreach with our t-shirts. We're Victory Outreach. Well, if we're Victory Outreach, then we should have the spirit of a breaker. And I'm here to challenge you and stir your soul to do something about it. Listen, this stronghold of addiction, this stronghold of violence in our city must be dealt with head on. And the way it's going to do it, when we have a prayer meeting, it's a sad thing that the only people that show up is the men's and women's home and one or two leaders. When we have a prayer meeting, we're not here just to pray and pray for ourselves. We're here to pray to break down the strongholds of the city. We need the anointing, and the only way the anointing comes is by connecting to God the Father through Jesus the Son. Come on, somebody. We're called to impact this city. We're not called to just have church on Sunday to sing a few songs and feel good about ourselves. Listen, those 14 souls that got baptized, they need a vision. They need a mission. If that's all they ever get for the rest of their lives, They will be religious fools. But if they get a hold of the vision of God and a passion for souls, I'm telling you right now, it won't be long until they're bringing somebody to get baptized. It won't be long until they say, Pastor, I laid hands on this couple right here. I've only been saved 6 months. But oh, they got delivered from heroin addiction. And they want to get water baptized. I didn't need 6 years, 3 years, or 4 years. You know what? Within a month, within days, actually, the same day I got saved, the day I got saved was a Thanksgiving morning. I'll never forget going to my grandmother's house. And after we ate, some of my relatives, I'm not going to say who, but some of my relatives, you know, we had this little thing like, let's go out to the backyard. Behind all the little casita back there. And I looked at him and I go, no, come on. So they all started walking out. They sent somebody back in for me. They're waiting for you. Because I was like, even though I was a younger one, I became like the ringleader. And they were like, you know, the Barnum and Bailey Circus, Circus of Addiction. And so they go, come on. I go, nah, I'm good. You sick? I go, no. I'm healed, but no. Come on. I go, no, I'm good. So I finally had to go back there and say, listen, don't ask me again. Don't ask me. I don't get high no more. And they go, you did last night. Day before yesterday you did. I said, no, today is a different day. And they couldn't believe it. They thought I was just not, they thought Barb was just all up on me, you know what I mean? They got them chained up. You know what I mean? Got them on a collar. Got them all leashed up. You know what I mean? They ain't got me leashed up. The Holy Ghost got me leashed up. See, when you get saved, the power of Almighty God wants to fall upon you. You need somebody in your life. That's why we need disciples and we need a discipler. I say, well, I know all about the Word of God. No, if you knew all about the Word of God for 7, 8, 9 years, all this Word of God that you think you know hasn't done anything. Why? Because you ain't got no power. You need somebody with power to be able to look at you in the eye and say, let's go have coffee. I see right through you, buddy. I said, you're still a player, aren't you? No, man, I'm doing good. Come on, bro, this is me. From one ex-player to a player. Come on. Quit trying to play me. Quit trying to play the ex-player. You're still a player. You still got something over here on this. See, when you got the power of God, they'll go like, who told you that? The Spirit of God, the spirit of a breaker. Because your marriage is about to break apart. But if you let me help you, if you let me help you, see, I don't know about you, but I don't want to just have church. I don't want to just be a church, another church in Albuquerque. I want to impact my city. And I want to fulfill the mission God's given me. That's why we began last night, and it's not going to stop all summer long. It ain't going to stop just in the summer, but I'm talking about all summer long. We are going to hit it. Man, we are going to have some amazing events. Listen, we're going to be out in the streets, out in the parks. We're going to be having car shows and basketball tournaments, and everything we do is going to be around reaching souls. It might be young people that are athletes. It might be OG dope fiends. It might be oldie but goodies. We're going to reach people all summer. I'm thoughtful, real quickly as I begin to. I'm thoughtful of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, we find the account where Nehemiah is the cupbearer of the king. He's living pretty good. He has a pretty good life, other than he's not around his family. He doesn't have the presence of God all around him. He's away from Jerusalem. And he's in a land of captivity where he really is captive to the king. But he gets to live in the palace. And sometimes we say, well, as long as I'm happy, I don't mind being in the world. But the world will eat you alive sooner or later. Sooner or later, the king's going to require something of you. And so he sees some of the people, some of the friends that come, they came through, and he asks him, hey, what's going on back home? What's up back home? And they looked at him and he says, do you really want to know? Because you got it all set up real nice over here in the King. Look at the way you live. Look at your clothes. You're wearing the most brand new Adidas. You got the best J's. You got everything. Look at you. Look at the way you got. Look at that shirt. Look at you all supremed out. You got it all together, don't you? Look at you. Back home, the walls are burned down. Back home, we don't have worship no more. Back home, the enemy just comes in and takes everything from us. He robs our kids. He robs our spouses. He robs our money. He takes everything from us, and nobody can do nothing about it. It's just like violence and addiction. Everything's all crazy. And the Bible says that he said, okay. And the Bible says that night he began to pray to the point where he couldn't stop praying, where he wept all night. He wept and he realized, wait a minute, I'm doing okay. I'm pretty good. But all my people are not good. See, when you can do good and your people not doing good and you not care about it, something's wrong. And his people were not good. So he had a bad look on his face. He had a sad look on his face. And you know, something about protocol, you can't, in front of the king and queen, in that realm of the kings and queens, you couldn't be like all sad faced because you could get your head chopped off or something like that. So he's all sad faced, and the king finally asked him, he said, what's up, man? You look like I owe you some money or something like that, or you stepped on the thorn, or what's going on in your face? Look at your face, your long face. And he says, man, how can I be happy, man? And he begins to tell him about his people. How can I be happy? My people are all messed up. And I love what the king does. The king goes ahead. Make a long story short, thank God for the king's wife. How many know it ain't nothing like having a good wife, man? The Bible says, he who finds a good wife finds a good thing. Amen. I'm glad I found a good thing. Una esposa bien preciosa. And I'm telling you right now that the king say, man, just let him go. Give him what he needs, man. He served you well. Let him go take care of the people. So he goes. He answers the call. You see, a couple of things I see from Nehemiah. First of all, he inquired about the condition. Sometimes we don't want to know. I ain't driving through the old neighborhood because I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to be tempted. Anything is going to be tempted. You ain't got enough power to drive through there. And that's good. You maybe shouldn't right now. But when you got the power and you still don't go, Then he's moved with compassion. He wept. He was broken. Then we see that he did something about it. He answered the call. Now, why was the city in ruins? Well, look at their condition. They had sinned. They had allowed the enemy to creep into their worship. Listen, there's a lot. You got to hear this. We got to be careful. There's a lot of churches have allowed the enemy to creep into their worship. Watered it down. They won't say nothing like you're going to hear today, because they don't want anybody to be offended. So listen, if the word of God being preached doesn't like move you a little bit, like make you kind of get a little unsettled, then it ain't really preaching. It's just a feel good. Make me feel good, Pastor. I don't want to hear nothing that's going to convict me. I just want to feel good so I can be good. And I want to look good and feel good and be good. And no, we want you to look good. We want you to feel good. In fact, you do look good. We want you to feel good. We want you to feel good after the Lord convicts you. I have to say, man, I got to stop that, man. I can't do that no more. I got to quit talking outside of my neck. I got to. Huh? The mentality, their limitations, their lack of faith, it was all a direct result of their sin. Their lives were empty. They were worshiping with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. And then God just allowed the enemy to come in and just burn the walls down. So there the walls are down with compromise, and the enemy is in the camp now. Finally, there's somebody in a place that can do something about it. Somebody who God has anointed, who has called, but he's not there. He's far away, all nice and having it real nice, living real nice in the palace. But then, oh, somehow, some way, the Spirit of the Lord guides these people there and gets in the ear of Nehemiah. And all of a sudden, Nehemiah, as he begins to feel and see and understand what is going, all of a sudden something happens. And my motive here today, is my whole message here today, is I'm hoping and praying that some of you would get stirred up about your neighborhood, about your city, about this nation, about the world we live in, that God has called us to the inner cities of the world. Why? Because that's where most of the problems are at. And God has anointed us. He has placed a special anointing upon the ministry of Victory Outreach to go out into places that nobody else wants to go and look at people in the eyes and say, listen, I understand. They say, no, you don't. I'm a heroin addict. And you can say, yes, I used to be one for 20 years. Don't you tell me that God can't change you. And then they're like, whoa. But you ain't never been to prison. Oh, and you can justify how long you've been in prison. They're like, really? Huh? Their lives were empty. And it could be that some of you here this morning, your lives are empty. The Lord brought you here to fill you. You're empty, but God wants to give you some overflow. He wants to take that emptiness in your life and He wants to fill you with something that will overflow out of your life. Not just for you. God never saves us just for us. Once we're saved, we're supposed to go out and give away what we got. Not give it away, but give some. So, you need breakthrough. Guess what? We got the spirit of the breaker. God wants to break some yokes this morning. God wants to take you from emptiness to overflow. There's some of you that are brokenhearted. You're hurting. You don't trust nobody. You don't trust your spouse. You don't even trust the person next to you. You don't trust the ushers. You don't trust the church. You don't even trust this message. Why is he yelling like that? I'm not yelling. I'm preaching. And I think I'm preaching good. And I think you better listen to what I'm saying. It might seem like there's no hope. But I got some good news for you this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And if you want to have a breakthrough, then you have to be willing. See, it's the anointing of God that breaks the bondage of sin. It's the anointing of God that breaks those generational curses off of your life. It is the anointing, my friend. We're here to help you rebuild the walls of your city. We're here to bring you hope when there's no hope. This church exists to be a light in a dark city. Our ministry is designed to minister to you and your family, to you and your marriage. Listen, Sister Barbara and I have been married for 41 years. Don't you tell me. I was a drug addict. I was a violent man and God changed me. We can help your marriage. To help you overcome the sin that plagues your soul, that's why we're here. To help you with your addiction, that's why we're here. To help you with depression, with what the clinical doctors say you have, depression. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that it's depression. I believe it's emptiness. I believe it's just empty and void. And the moment you get filled with the Spirit of God and the anointing comes upon you, all of a sudden you can't help to get the joy of the Lord in your spirit. You can't help to be excited and happy. And then everybody's going to say, well, why are you happy? Be depressed like the rest of us. Nah. I'm tired of being like that. See? We're here to help you with your loneliness. Say, well, golly, I have a lot of church. I have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and life group on Friday. You know why? Because you know what you're doing at home by yourself. Or with people you shouldn't be hanging with. Huh? So we give you an outlet. So you won't be lonely. You can have some folks to hang out with. Come on, man. When you was up in the yard, you hung out with somebody. Well, not me. I did my own time, homie. No. You clicked up with somebody. In the neighborhood, we always had. I saw the Sandlot last night. Everybody see the Sandlot? Ooh, Benny the Jet. Ooh, one of my favorite movies, man, of all time. I was thinking about how they needed each other. And the story says they were only together for a couple of years. And maybe you're not here to live here for the rest of your life, but while you're here, you need us, and we need you. And some of you are here to be forever until the Lord comes back. Some of you getting launched out to another city, you need us because we're going to help you on your launch. See, some of you have been hurt and betrayed by God. You feel like God's done it all to you, but it has its people, man. People can be rough. And the devil, Satan, man, he is a liar. He hurts. He betrays. He's the one. Don't get caught up in and fight. Your battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and high places. Sometimes we're fighting the wrong fight. And sometimes people do burn us, man. Some of you have been betrayed horribly in a relationship, and you don't, can't trust nobody. You're all these strongholds of, you're all complex, all paranoid, all paranoski. Paranoid about it. What do they want? So the Lord wants to set you free, man. Can he set you free? Can you come to the keyboard? Let him set you free. You know that hate that you have? Let's let God replace it with love, man. Let God replace it. Can you come to the keyboard, please? Let's see God do what he's always wanted to do in your life. See, we preach the good news of Jesus Christ that sets the captives free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That means total deliverance, total freedom. You know, I don't know. I had to correct somebody the other day because they said I'm sober for 4 years. And I said, you're what? Sober. So who made you sober? Well, the Lord. I go, then why don't you give him the Lord? Why don't you give him the Lord a credit then? Whoa. I go, I don't believe in being sober. I don't believe in recovering. I believe I'm recovered 30 years. I believe I'm set free, delivered. That means when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he was in recovery at Ananias' house under discipleship. He got recovered right there. He went from being a hateful, horrible man to being a loving, compassionate man in that very moment. You're not recovering addicts. Some of you have been addicts all your life since you were 12. I was doing drugs at 10, 11 years old. But you know what? The reason why maybe you haven't been set free is because you haven't let something go. The moment you say, I want the stronghold gone, I don't want to live like this no more, anoint me and break it. Be the breaker in my life. Break the yoke of bondage. When you come to those terms, but if you still like to smoke a little pipe once in a while, if you still like to smoke a little bit of, you know, this, if you like to do a little bit of that, you like to go a little bit of, if you still like a little bit of that right now, you ain't never going to get breakthrough. So you're going to be recovering and going to meetings and saying the same thing. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm a recovering. No! If you want to be delivered and set free, all you got to do is shout out to the King of Kings and say, I want to be set free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. You're either a junkie or you're not. You're either a womanizer or you're not. You're either a liar or a speaker of the truth. What do you want? Do you want to be free? And if you do want to be free and you want to overcome sin, it's going to take the anointing, the spirit of a breaker. Romans 16:20, and I'll begin to close here. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, he says. He's writing to the church of Rome. You know where he's writing from? He's writing from a prison cell. And he says, the devil's going to be crushed shortly. Off of you. Broken off. That word crush in the original language is the word sundribo. And it means to trample upon or to break in pieces, to shatter, to bruise, or to grind down, or to smash. Don't you want that stronghold from your family lineage to be smashed once and for all? Don't you? Aren't you tired? Let God break it, smash it. See, our victory is a continuation of Christ's victory when he bruised the head of the serpent at Calvary. Sometimes we don't walk in that anointing. We think of it as far, far distant story, a fairy tale from 2,000 years ago. Sumtribo points to the present victories over the powers of darkness as well as the power of Satan and the victory that will come with the second coming of Christ. Ooh, he's coming back. And the crazier things get, you know, Pastor Sonny and about 100 people are in Israel. I wanted to go so bad, we just couldn't make it. but I've been there with him before. I'll never forget the trip to Israel. Every part of it, I quote it to people sometimes. They ask me, how was it in Israel? You have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half hour? And I just, I can remember it like it was yesterday. But there, I've been watching the Instagram feed all week long. And they were on the borderline of Syria, standing on tanks. You know, our guys are all tattooed down. Well, the women. And then some of the guys are too. But everybody's like, just all, you know, all the ex everything. They're in Israel, man. You know what I mean? Some are wearing Cortezes, some wearing Converse, some wearing long shorts, hats. You know, walking around Israel like, who are those guys? And there's Pastor Sonny, the leader of the pack. Hey! You know how classy the pastor is, Pastor Julie. So classy with their nice little hat with gold beans on there. They're on the borderline of Syria. I'm standing on top of tanks. They don't just take a picture. They're on top of tanks. Because we have the spirit of warrior in us. And they know it's not a flesh battle. But I'm thinking to myself, most people don't want to go there. Nobody wants to go there by the borderline of Syria. They're there learning about the power of God. They were in places where Jesus, the Valley of Armageddon, and all the places where Jesus is going to have the ultimate victory. See, the book of Nehemiah is a powerful story. If you'd read it in chapter 1 through 15, it really tells about what God did through Nehemiah. I don't have time to get to it today, but maybe we can get into it next week. See, the city was in ruins because of their sin and their compromise and their condition. Our city has compromised. Our city is full of addiction and violence. We need a Holy Ghost awakening. That's what a New Mexico Praise is part of. I'm part of New Mexico Praise, our church, on the 15th of every month. I wonder, are we doing our part on the 15th, praying for against violence, praying against all the different topics? Just get on NewMexicoPraise.org and get on there and just join us on the 15th of the month. Every 15th of the month, we're praying for our city and our state. Break strongholds. How many want strongholds broken off of you? Listen, it's the anointing that sets the captives free as the worship team makes their way up to the top. I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads. Nobody moving around. Everybody just close your eyes. I suspect this morning there's many people in this room that God has spoken to your heart. That God has spoken to you. Some of you need the breaker. Some of you need a miracle in your marriage. Some of you need to be set free from addiction. Some of you need to be set free in your marriage. Some of you need to be set free from bitterness and anger. Some of you, man, are hurt and betrayed, and you need to learn how do I trust again? You start off by going to the Lord and laying it at His feet. Just laying at His feet. Now I'm going to open up this altar. I want to open for those of you that say, you know what? I need to be set free. I don't want to live like my forefathers lived. I'm starting to see the signs of things that I'm not going to get out of this thing if the anointing doesn't break the yoke of my life. As they begin to sing this song, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, if God has spoke a word to you and you said, I'm empty, I'm lonely, I want to be filled up, I need the fire of God.
I provide the sacrifice.
I'm here at this altar today. Because I don't want to be the same anymore.
You provide the Spirit.
I don't want my children to follow in my footsteps. Only if I'm serving God can they follow. Oh, I just want to serve God. I just want a new life. I want to go from emptiness to overflow. I need the anointing on my life. I need the spirit of a breaker in my life. Oh, break all those things from my life. And anoint me, Father. Oh!